Progressive knows road trips without your pet can be tough.
Hi, this is Next Stop Dog Boarding.
Hi, it's Scott again. How's Squeaks doing? You can tell if he's stressed by his eyebrows. Oh, and his breathing should sound like this.
Scott, Squeaks is exactly the same as last time you called.
Okay, let's talk in 20 to see if anything's changed.
With Progressive, your pet is covered up to $1,000 in vet bills in case of a car accident. So next time, you can take your pet with you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Coverage for dogs and cats is included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is now 8:06 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 19th of June, Juneteenth, of course. And on the show this morning, first half of the program, Caroline Grew is going to join us, United Way of the Columbia Gorge. We'll talk to her about a fundraiser they've got coming up next week. Second half of the program, Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue Chief David Jensen is going to stop by in studio. We're going to talk Rowena Fire. And probably we'll start talking a little bit about, you know, what to expect you're going to see from that area in the next month or two. With all the terrain, the warmer weather we will eventually get, even though we get cooling and wet weather this weekend, it appears. We'll talk about, you know, where this all kind of goes from here, especially as we'll be seeing the resources that came from out of the area, they'll be leaving in the next little while. And we'll find out what to expect, really, with David coming up a little bit later on this morning. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. And in this day in 1865, Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, with news the Civil War was over and that all remaining enslaved people in Texas were free, an event now celebrated nationwide as Juneteenth. 1910, the first ever Father's Day in the U.S. was celebrated in Spokane. President Richard Nixon would make Father's Day a federally recognized annual observation through a proclamation in 1972. 1953, 35-year-old Julius Rosenberg and his wife, 37-year-old Ethel Rosenberg, convicted of conspiring to pass U.S. atomic secrets to the Soviet Union and were executed at Sing Sing Prison in Ossining, New York. They were the first American civilians to be executed for espionage. 1963, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova completed her historic flight as the first woman in space, landing safely by parachute to conclude the Vostok 6 mission. 1964, the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 approved by the Senate after surviving a lengthy filibuster. 1975, former Chicago organized crime boss Sam Giancana was shot to death in the basement of his home in Oak Park, Illinois. The killing's never been solved. 1986, University of Maryland basketball star Len Bias, the first draft pick of the Boston Celtics 2 days earlier, suffered a fatal cocaine-induced seizure. And 1987, the Supreme Court, in the case of Edwards versus Aguillard, struck down a Louisiana law requiring any public school teaching the theory of evolution to teach creation science as well. Days for today, it is Garfield the Cat Day today. This is the day that Garfield debuted sometime in the late 70s. In comic pages across the country. It is National Pets in Film Day today. No idea what that's about. It is National Watch Day today, as in celebrating wristwatches, I would presume. I'm not sure many of us wear any. Well, people still wear them. They're more almost now jewelry than they are a functional piece, because many people now have it on their iPhones, or they've got their Apple Watch. They've gone that route. And so now it is back on their wrist. It's National Dump the Pump Day today. And this is a day that you're supposed to think about, how do you get away from using the gas pump? It is World Albatross Day today, celebrating the bird. is recess at work day today. Not sure how far you want to go with that out there. And it's also World Sauntering Day today. This was come up apparently by someone who, it was back in the 70s when jogging was a big craze, which still seems to be popular today, and decided we needed something to oppose that when it was sauntering. Food and drink today. It's National Martini Day today. Celebrate responsibly out there. It is World Tapas Day today. And finally, we probably could have just done this and left almost everything else out. It's National Eat an Oreo Day today, which I don't think I have to convince many of you to do. You know, I have noticed the double stuffed Oreos don't seem to be as double stuffed as they used to be. They almost seem now more they're regular Oreos. I'm afraid to ask how much filling the regular Oreo has anymore. There it all is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today, and we will return after this.
I just can't get it. I'm too little.
If I just had another set of arms.
Oh, honey, do this. Honey, do that. I just can't keep up.
Sometimes you just need a good handyman.
At Sterling Construction, we're your reliable residential home contractor in the Gorge. We can handle the small fixes and significant remodels. Call us today at 541-288-8384.
Farmgrass Table is keeping it fresh with new daily deals and more. With a large variety of flower strains at unbeatable prices, Farmgrass Table has something to please everyone. Vapes, batteries, edibles, and more. 2025 seeds are available now. Come in, call, or see our menu on leafly.com. Pre-order and curbside pickup available for your convenience. And be sure to join our loyalty program for updates and rewards.
Oh, yeah.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug for use by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children.
How can you measure the value of education-based athletics? Well, the value is in what makes it invaluable. That's because school sports aren't just about winning. They're about learning and growing. School sports aren't just about gaining trophies and accolades. They're about learning life lessons, bringing a whole community together, developing character and integrity, having coaches who mentor you and teammates who become lifelong friends. And you can't put a price on any of that. That's what makes education-based athletics invaluable. Of course, when you participate in school sports, you want to win and become a better athlete. But the purpose is so much greater, becoming a better person. Support your local school sports programs. And if you have a student, encourage them to get involved.
This message presented by the OSAA and the Oregon Athletic Directors Association.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And we welcome you back at 8:13 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined here on the telephone from the United Way of the Columbia Gorge. Caroline Grew joins us. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. We're gearing up for our big summer concert next Friday, June 27th. So things are very busy over here.
I'm sure they are. So, and that's why we've got you here. So let's tell people about what you got planned on the 27th.
So United Way of the Columbia Gorge, we have a fundraiser coming up. It's our annual music concert in Wasco, Sherman County. It's going to be at the Bargeway Pub in the Dalles, and we are featuring the C.J. Mickens Band. It's C.J. Mickens Band. They've performed for the Hood to Coast concerts. And so they bring a blend of music genres, including country, R&B, some classic covers to get the crowd dancing. But most importantly, this is a fundraiser that is going to benefit 33 nonprofit organizations in the Gorge. And this year, we're doing something very special. We're going to be raising funds for the Rowena Fire Relief efforts. So we're working really closely with the community in Wasco to set up this fundraiser to support the local community that's been affected by the fires.
Now, you're going to be at the Bargeway Pub, I believe, next Friday for this, right?
Yes, the Bargeway Pub, June 27th. The doors open at 5:30 p.m.
And we'll go ahead and give ticket information now. We'll do it again, of course, later. But how can people get tickets for this?
So you can buy tickets online at the United Way of the Columbia Gorge website. You can also buy tickets at the Bargeway Pub. And we also have the Dalles Chamber of Commerce selling the tickets as well.
And they are $25 in advance, going to be $30 at the door. We probably should mention in here, this is a 21 and over event, right?
Yes, correct.
So you've got not just the concert, but you've got an auction, it sounds like, planned as well.
Yes, we have 10 live auction items, and these are an incredible group of auction items created by our Wasco Sherman Council. We have trips, including trips to Skamania Lodge with golf. We have a Backwoods Brewing Package, staying in the cabins in Stevenson along with Carson Golf. We have Wet Planet rafting trips. We even have a unique raffle item, which is for 8 guests going up to the it's called the Huntington Grill in Klickitat, and we have a private driver, Paul Blackburn, who's going to be bringing up guests to the Huntington Grill. But we just have numerous items donated by Fun Country Power Sports. It's going to be a great auction, and we have Sean Wilkinson as our auctioneer for a third year in a row. And if you come to see one of his auctions, it's an entertainment in itself. It's really amazing.
You mentioned
will also have auction items specifically for the fire relief efforts, too. We have a community gathering today to procure these auction items. So this is going to be a real collaborative effort with Wasco community members to create a very special fundraiser.
And again, this is for United Way of the Columbia Gorge, along with now, as you mentioned, Rowena Fire Relief Efforts. But for those who may not be familiar out there, United Way of the Columbia Gorge, I think you mentioned 33 different agencies are helped through your organization?
Yes, we support 33 local nonprofits focused on meeting the community's most basic human needs. So that's shelter, that's food, youth empowerment services, health services, helping our local schools. These 33 nonprofits are working really hard to support our community, and we're really excited to give back. This fundraiser helps support our quarterly two distributions going out July 15th, so it's a critical time for us to have this fundraiser.
What are you finding right now as far as the requests you're getting from agencies in this current climate? I would assume maybe that you're seeing, I mean, you always probably have more requests than the money that's available, but I would assume that we're seeing some more needs crop up.
We certainly are, Mark. We're seeing a lot of these organizations have received enormous federal funding cuts, and so that's where United Way is really stepping up with our grassroots efforts of fundraising in our community, especially the food banks, the shelters. All these organizations are being impacted by these federal funding cuts. And so for us, our goal is to raise over $350,000 to meet the requests of these organizations. We have an allocations committee that met this spring, and the request was about $350,000. So this is one of many fundraisers that United Way has throughout the year. And we're just so excited to be able to give back and work with our community partners to support our partnering organizations.
Now, I assume that $350,000 you mentioned is above and beyond maybe what normally that you give out.
Yes, we've given out about our highest allocation amount was $402,000, and that was a couple of years when the United Way of the Columbia Gorge was entrusted with the COVID funds. And so that's something that we worked with, distributing those COVID funds along with our fundraising efforts. So that was our largest allocation in history. So our goal this year, we're hoping to get above $350,000 for funding these 33 nonprofits in the gorge.
And we really should mention here, United Way of the Columbia Gorge, and you mentioned off the top, this is the Wasco Sherman fundraiser that you're having coming up on June 27th. We'll give the ticket information again on that in just a moment or two. But you serve a lot more counties than Wasco and Sherman.
Yes, we do. We serve 5 counties in the gorge: Hood River, Wasco, Sherman, and Klickitat, Skamania counties.
Mm-hmm. So this is the entire Columbia Gorge area, obviously, that you work with. And so what other activities do you have planned? Because obviously, you know, $350,000 is a fairly large, you know, number to hit in the amount of time we're dealing with here.
Yes, so we also have a fall gala, and that's going to be on October 25th, and that's at the Hood River Inn. We're selling tickets online for that as well on our website. We're selling tables and sponsorships. Historically, that fundraiser has raised almost $250,000 in an evening, so it's our biggest fundraiser of the year. And then our summer concert really supplements that as well as our end of the year giving and a few other events we have throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're always willing to take donations from folks who maybe aren't going to go to the concert but would like to help. And with these agencies and their efforts, how can people do that?
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers. United Way has over 50 volunteers from the 5 different counties that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we meet on a monthly basis, so the Hood River Council meets monthly at the Three Rivers Grill, the Wasco Sherman Council meets monthly at the Bargeway Pub, and it's really a volunteer-driven organization. We have so many passionate volunteers that come on board and help us with our fundraising efforts, and we welcome new volunteers all the time. We are trying to build up our Klickitat Skamania Council, so if anyone's interested and being a part of the Klickitat Skamania Council, that's something that we're currently looking for council members. And so getting the word out is super helpful, Mark.
And, well, once again here, let's go over the details for Friday night, June 27th, 5:30 at the Bargeway Pub in the Dalles. And it's going to be the C.J. Mickens Band providing the music. You've got a live auction and other things going on as well. One more time, give us the ticket information how people can get tickets and take part in this.
Yes, so it's the United Way of the Columbia Gorge Summer Concert presented by Underwriter Ford and Nissan of the Dalles. It's the C.J. Mickens Band, June 27th at the Bargeway Pub. You can buy tickets online at unitedwayofthecolumbiagorge.org, or you can buy tickets at the Dalles Chamber of Commerce. And we're also selling tickets at the Bargeway Pub. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give a huge shout out to all our sponsors. We have so many amazing sponsors that have come through with this. We have the Underwriter Ford and Nissan of the Dalles, Crestline Tires, Les Schwab, Backwoods Brewing Company, Cody with Copper West, Heater Orchards, Mount Adams Fruit, JR with Edward Jones, Oregon Equipment Company, Umpqua Bank, Discover Rentals, Northwest Natural Auction Sales Company, and GS Long Co. These are our sponsors that are helping make this concert happen. We couldn't do it without them, and we couldn't do it without our amazing community and the generosity that comes from the Columbia Gorge. So thank you so much.
Again, June 27th, doors open at 5:30. That is a 21 and over event, the C.J. Mickens Band, and again, a concert and live auction to benefit United Way of the Columbia Gorge. Will be at Bargeway Pub in the Dalles, and also they're going to be trying to help out folks that have been impacted by the Rowena fire of recent days. Caroline, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. so much, Mark. We really appreciate your support with this, and we hope to see you all at the concert. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. Caroline Grew from the United Way of the Columbia Gorge. It is 8:24 in the morning on MCT. News coming up, and we'll have David Jansen from the Midlothian Fire and Rescue Department, their new chief. We'll talk to David here in a few moments. David Jensen will be in the studio, and we'll talk Rowena Fire once again. News, though, first. We'll come back and do that right after this.
Are you ready to restore balance, reduce stress, and treat sleep issues with the healing energy of love? Unlock your potential with services that range from chakra healing to spiritual coaching.
Hi, this is Deborah Rashidi with Love Energy Healing, where love and healing come together as one. I look forward to meeting you.
Purchase an energy session and enjoy a free gift. Located at 321 East 10th Street, online at love33energy.com. Or call today at 509-281-2225.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go!
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Good morning here at 8:26 as MCT continues. Let's take a look at what is in the news. The Wasco County Commission on Wednesday formally approved an emergency declaration for the Rowena Fire. County Emergency Management Services Manager Sheridan McClellan told the commission the declaration is necessary to facilitate cleanup after the fire. The declaration is intended to help secure funding from state and federal agencies to support comprehensive cleanup efforts and provide resources to affected residents like safe drinking water, temporary housing, and support for rebuilding in areas impacted by contamination. Wasco County Commission Chair Scott Hagee says there are a lot of needs as a result of the fire and will take time to get them all. The Dallas Public Works Department has lifted a water use advisory issued 2 weeks ago. The advisory to limit outdoor water use was issued because two of the city's three wells that are used to meet summer demands were out of service due to unexpected mechanical failure. The Public Works Department says one of the wells is back in service, allowing the advisory to be removed. Chen with Water PUD customers were not affected by this advisory. A climber 500 feet from the summit of Mount Hood tripped and tumbled, prompting an hours-long rescue on Tuesday. The fall happened around 7:15 in the morning on the mountain's south side, known as Old Chute. The 43-year-old climber fell at an elevation about 10,750 feet on his way to the top. With the help of his climbing partner and other climbers, the injured man made it down the steepest part of the mountain, and the group called 911. Clackamas County Sheriff's Office search and rescue coordinators were able to reach the injured climber, took him to the base of Crater Rock, and then they were able to get the injured climber to an ambulance waiting at Timberline Lodge. Hours after a rally in support of an Oregon man who was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the gathering outside the ICE facility in South Portland got tense as protesters and federal agents were all there. Coyne reports by 11 in the evening, the crowd of protesters had grown substantially in the last couple of hours. Protesters were seen lighting fireworks and moving what appeared to be a dumpster in front of the ICE facility. Federal agents were seen deploying flashbangs at the crowd. The Portland Police Bureau is saying they have been monitoring the activity in South Portland, but have not been involved in immigration enforcement. Earlier on Wednesday, a rally was planned in support of a Newburgh Vineyard worker was arrested by ICE last week and is now in Tacoma, according to his family. ICE claimed Moises Sotelo had a criminal conviction for DUI in Yamhill County. However, Coyne TV reports the Yamhill County District Attorney's Office said he has never been charged. Our weather forecast does call for some sun today. Continued gusty west winds around 25 miles per hour. As our current temperatures, the Dalles at 59, Hood River is at 57 degrees. Mid-Columbia mornings time is now at 8:30 in the morning.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
To every referee, umpire, and judge in high school sports, we want to say, we see you.
We see everything you do for us that goes unnoticed.
We see the positive role models that you are.
We see the way you get unfairly criticized just for doing your job.
The truth is, we couldn't play without you.
So thank you for investing your time in us.
Thank you for protecting the integrity of the game, no matter what.
We hope you always know how much we appreciate you.
Because without you, this is just recess. It's not really a game.
Thank you for always making it possible for us to play the sports we love.
Want to serve the students in your community? Sign up to become an official in Oregon at highschoolofficials.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:32 in the morning. We're now joined here in the studio by the Chief of the Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue District, David Jensen's joined us. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. I know you've had some very long days here in the last week or so.
Yeah, they haven't stopped yet, but
yes, and you're able to come in here because for those who don't know, the headquarters for the firefighting effort in the Rowena Fire is actually just up the road from us, just a little bit in Odell. I think you're at Y East, correct?
Yeah, we're in the Hood River Fairgrounds right now. That will change as of today.
Okay, so, where are you guys headed to?
So the incident command post will be at Fire Station 1 in Columbia. Back. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, one of the things that we're doing right now is changing those resources, the out-of-town resources are kind of moving out right now. And the crews that we'll still have working on the fire are a lot of local. So like Steelhead, Devil's Ridge, which is out of here, the local area.
Right. So really, this is the transition now. The management team from the ODF, they move on because they'll have something else to do, most certainly. Oregon State Fire Marshal had, I think, left a couple days ago, if I remember right, officially.
Right.
So where does this all... Again, first of all, before I go into the down the road here, right now, the status of this fire, I think yesterday was 53% contained, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Where does it stand right now as we are in the morning here?
Well, they'll do that assessment continuing in today. Really, the things that we're doing overnight has to do with like our infrared flights and trying to identify where the heat is and where the vulnerabilities are. But they've really shored up the the areas on the perimeter for for us in our district. You know, we've had crews in there the whole time. Our biggest concern is those houses that are still remaining, and some of the growth and the weeds and the tall grasses that are now cured and dried, but they have burnt edges right up to them.
Right.
And any heat in there getting into dry grass and threading those structures is a our top priority. So we've had we have a wildland only mitigation crew. That's all they do is just wildland stuff. So they were actually in there the morning of the fire,
right.
doing this work,
wow.
Doing weed abatement and that kind of work. So they're in there working around structures to finish up those projects and really shore up all of those buildings just to make sure that we've reduced the vegetation. If there's any sort of heat in there that gets involved in a receptive fuel, that it's not going to go anywhere quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, just mop up of the actual, just finding heat anywhere else. They will switch to, that's part of the transition today, is that that crew, we are switching to a nighttime patrol because of so many resources are going out. The activity will be the daytime. We're just watching it overnight. So they'll do that. They'll take all of the 911 calls in the middle of the night, which were, you know, probably getting 15 to 20 per night. Usually people in Washington looking over, seeing the smoke, there's going to be heat like that.
And this is where I wanted to get to how this proceeds down the road here, because you know, you've alluded to how the terrain that is out there, the fuels that remain out there, and this is very early in the fire season. It's not like we're closing in on you know, wintertime weather coming in. What can we expect behavior like in that area?
You mean as far as the fire?
Yeah,
behavior.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can expect that as on the days when the heat is up and the humidity drops, especially into that 20% range, that we're going to see more smoke. You'll see also a little bit more smoke when the wind dies down, which is a little bit counterintuitive,
really?
But that's really when we are able to identify those hot spots visually, because the smoke stands up. It's not just getting blown away.
It just goes straight up, and so you can ID exactly where it's coming from, I assume,
at that point. And we can do it through technology, too, but when it gets down deep, that's really what kind of... What kind of brings up,
How deep can the heat that causes these fires get into?
Well, it gets down into the root systems and down into holes that, you know, critters have made. And some of those are really deep-seated for a long time, burning in root systems. Mm-hmm. So there's arborists in there. Some private owners are hiring arborists to come around their house. There's some really there's one couple that is in there that's real heroes of mine for the stuff that they've been done before the fire, during the fire, and after the fire. So
and actually, we should mention, because I know MCFR, if I remember correctly, you've got a program for people to be able to get a survey of their property done for defensibility.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of our, this particular area is one of our highest risk. We knew that.
Right.
And so we had both crews doing in that work, and we also had our fire marshal was out doing surveys that very morning and prepping people and telling them what, you know, some things that they can do. And, unfortunately, it's pretty hard that many homes, and I think people will see that when they go in there. I think in the Adeline Way, Simonelli, that whole area is, it's nuked. You know, I remember sitting at the command post and getting an operational report from the division that was over there. And he said, that's a pretty hard hit area. I said, oh yeah, what are we looking at? And he said, 4. And I said, that's significant. And we lost 4. And he said, no, there's 4 left. Mm-hmm. And for the amount of homes that are in there, it's really devastating to see.
I asked this of Lane McGill yesterday on the show when he was here. Have you in your career ever been through anything like this?
With the significance of the home lost, the primary structures, not at all. So this fire on state records for a single incident fire. This fire in the state of Oregon is, as far as destruction of primary residence, is second only to Canyon Creek.
Right.
So it's the second on historical record. So
now Canyon Creek, was that was down, was that Southern Oregon?
No, Canyon Creek was out in the Monday area. Yeah.
I'll tell you, the one I think of, admittedly, is down in Southern Oregon a few years ago. That it's led to all the lawsuits.
The 2020 fires.
Yeah, 2020 fires. Exactly. Yeah,
there was a lot of homes lost. They were in separate communities and right. that kind of thing. So as far as their records go, I mean, that was a significant day. Lots of homes lost. But as far as a single fire goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was more of a series. That would be a series of fires led to numbers. But it that is astonishing. And it happened so fast. I remember, you know, we were putting stuff on the air. I was. And you couldn't keep up. I mean, because it was changing so constantly. I've got to imagine that for you guys trying to deal with this fire, what it must have been like.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty disheartening being in there, and especially sitting at the Air Incident Command Post. Initially, was set up at Mayor State Park East. Mm-hmm. That's where I went to.
Yeah.
And every time you see the smoke change, and I see a big plume of black, you just know it's a structure that's going up. And to know that your mutual aid resources are tapped out, everybody's sent what they have. Yeah. Washington's unavailable because they have. They're dealing with their own fires simultaneously.
There were two Skamania County fires going at the same time.
Yeah, and our mutual aid goes as far as Clackamas County, and they sent out a task force to us as well. But then you're talking an hour and a half, and then into the traffic that was plugged up. It was a pretty difficult thing. And then the complicating factor to this and other Rowena fires, which, you know, it happens every year. We get some sort of fire in there, but usually we're able to get it hooked with just the combination of resources. It had, for my drive-in, was at least a mile of different distinct fires. And so it's really fighting five different fires simultaneously.
Well, this gets back to the wind issue, of course. I mean, the embers get blown and spot. That was the big concern in the Eagle Creek fire a few years ago. It was not so much that fire where it was at, but what could get blown into areas where there were more people. Right. And that was a major concern in that one, and I assume that was a factor in this one.
Yeah, it absolutely was, and also just the amount of heat. You know, when there's no wind and the heat stands up, that kind of movement of the fire is a lot slower than a wind-driven fire, but gusts up to 50, and probably locally there. If we had a local water meter, it would have been much higher.
Yeah, you get up on like 7 Mile Hill, and it can be astonishing how hard it blows up in that area. So as we move forward in all this, I guess, how does this progress from here in terms of how we monitor this? Is it basically going to be a constant patrol all summer on this?
So we'll monitor this, especially as the weather comes in, and we'll so the incident command, you know, still takes place. It's just a different level of team. And so we have a complex incident team, which is what that used to call type one teams, like the federal, the big teams. That's what was here. A type three team is what is going to be in place, which is still a pretty high level of qualified people in there. So we'll still have four hand crews in there. We'll still be working on this structure for the next week. And then we will be doing nighttime patrols constantly, and our day shift crews will be – we have a patrol plan. So you know, part of it is that the homeowners that are in there now, there's some benefit to that as well, because now they can patrol their own property and tell us if they need help on anything as well.
And you mentioned you're getting calls from people across the river. They see the smoke, obviously very well-meaning.
Yeah.
What would be normal? What would be out of maybe normal, or maybe it would actually be a problem?
So anything interior, interior of the fire, so well within the black that is not near a structure, is stuff that's just going to burn, especially in the really rugged stuff. That's where most your heat is, down by the structure. So I think we're 300 feet out now of full suppression. So we shouldn't see any... we'll have some smokes pop up, but well within, we're not as concerned about that. Those are probably going to live the whole year with us.
Now, you mentioned you've got wildland folks on staff, MCFR. as we've seen this change, it seems like the danger has grown over the years. And of course, you're fairly new here. Is there going to be a need to have maybe more on staff?
Well, that program is amazingly successful.
Yeah.
And it's just showing its importance right now. Yeah, absolutely. So fire staffing is a big deal. Our partnerships with ODF and Scenic Area are really like no other in the state as far as how we'll have different divisions and that authority can operate both of our equipment, air resources, and so that's how we're making up for that. But staffing is, it's what you can do to get in front of things for sure.
But it certainly sounds like, especially for you, maybe with the lessons out of this, which you probably already knew, mitigation in the gorge because of what wind can do, the wrong wind day. I mean, this probably was bound to happen eventually, given the winds we get, that at some point there's going to be some fire, especially in that area, which is prone to fire, that eventually we were going to have, sadly, something like this. And it happened. I remember how close the Mosier oil fire a number of years ago. If the wind had been blowing like that, that would have been an unbelievable disaster had it occurred. We've really got to double this. This is where the mitigation becomes so huge, isn't it? Because best efforts of everybody, there wasn't a whole lot, to try to stop that was going to be impossible.
Right. I mean, yeah. To think that we had 117 people there within the first, 30 minutes of that, six different air resources on the scene, and we still didn't.
Yeah. And the Conflagration Act, I believe, was invoked, I think, within about 2 hours. I mean, it was really quick.
Yeah, we had conversations with so on scene when at the command post, State Fire Marshal's office had a representative within 15 minutes, almost shortly after I arrived. And, and as soon as we had that discussion and talked with the Fire Marshal's office, they said, we need to do this. The governor's signature was immediate.
Right. I mean, I don't think I've seen it quite that quick before. I mean, it was, which underscores how bad this was immediately into all this. If people have questions, I mean, I'm sure it's going to come up over the days and weeks. Basically, as all this now we're kind of getting to that settling in mode of, we had the emergency. People now are able to get back to their homes. Where can people get questions answered?
So as far as resources and needing resources, the MARC really is the best. I just talked with the county PIO right before I got here, so there is a phone number that I can give you
now. Please
do. Yeah, so it's 541-506-2724. And that is a clearinghouse of information. It leaves a message. You leave a message for it, and the correct resource will return your phone call. And so that's how they're going to handle that for right now.
All right. I asked also about this with Lane yesterday. A debrief. I assume at some point as this settles back down. I assume everybody's going to get together and kind of, as with any major emergency like this, I imagine there's kind of at some point where everybody sits down and goes, "Okay, what did we do? What can we do better? And what steps can we take?"
Right.
I assume that's going to take place at some point too.
Yeah, in different levels of it. So we have several. So a series of many of them. We're going to be doing a debrief today with our cooperators meeting, which is our political and our agency heads, the city, the county, and everybody, to see what we can, just as an incident command, how can we communicate better? What questions did you need answered so that we'll have a good planning document for the next time. Operationally, we will do the same thing at the incident command level, and then also on our line, we'll do the same thing and see what our needs for. And then part of that is also it identifies the things that we don't have the means to address
now,
but it's great communication for our legislature, which has been heavily involved both at our state level, definitely our local level, and then even on our federal level. So I think that this is a ripe moment. It's very early in the season where other areas of the state can learn some things from this, and if we advocate it for it right now, that you know that could benefit another community, not right. just ours.
Mm-hmm. I know also a question people are asking, and you can just kind of briefly touch on this, because I did touch on this also with the sheriff yesterday, but yeah, people are wondering, okay, when are we going to know what caused this? Well, what sparked this fire? It's going to be a while, isn't it?
Yeah, so we have, it will be at least 3 months. Mm-hmm. However, I will say that from, so we're partners in that. So the ODF is leading the investigation team. Our, the fire districts in state law, we have to investigate all fires. So we have four fire investigators, you know, in our department, certified mm-hmm. trained fire investigators. Two of them have been heavily involved in this process, and so we're still working on that. Mm-hmm. We expect it will be a couple of months, but we do really we're taking this part really strongly, because I think that what needs to be understood is that there's I walked through the other day and I met with some mm-hmm. people, and there was a man that I talked to. He'd been renting a house for 20 years,
yeah,
and he didn't have renter's insurance. The homeowner did not have homeowner's insurance. And there were probably half the people I talked to didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
And that amazed me. That right. was, I was, wow. I mean, I know that insurance is a struggle and it may be a future struggle in the light of all of this as well. Mm. But that's a pretty devastating thing for those people to have to deal with.
You know, this kind of goes on to, in many cases, the people who lose their homes are the ones who are least able to deal with it,
right.
unfortunately. And that's going to be, I think, a reality of this one in particular, is just that. I mean, that is just, and that brings up even another political issue. I'm sure I may talk about Jeff Helfrich tomorrow, which he was on the show, our state representative, and that is, you know, it already was a concern about where fire insurance was going. Right. In this state, we've seen California places can't get it in some cases. You worry about it. I mean, that's a concern here.
Yeah, especially as we want mm-hmm. Areas to be able to recover.
Exactly.
I was giving a tour to the state emergency manager last night. We were driving through the area. That mm-hmm. was a top concern for mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
Many concerns for the area. And also, what does water systems look like? Yep. Those water systems are so small. Some of that houses mm-hmm. and the pairs in the systems don't mm-hmm. exist anymore. Yeah. So what does that look like?
Well, the ones that really is what, you know, Lane mentioned it yesterday, you alluded to it today. The chemicals that may have been unearthed or released through this fire from old vehicles, et cetera, and I worry about what we've exposed in the ground and what that might mean for people as well, because that could be a major burden for folks.
Yeah, just the contents of structures, just when we have a normal structure fire, is a hazardous thing. We don't, and it's not just the fumes and the toxic. People think that if it's not hot anymore, it's not releasing those fumes. It's those ultrafine particulates that end up, and this is really a concern for firefighters that we have. Mm. That's why we talk about it a lot. Right. It just gets embedded in the lungs and never leaves. Mm-hmm. So our district is in mm-hmm. charge of the damage assessment, right?
Right.
So we coordinate all of that, and we send our crews in to do that. So we just finished after the structure numbers that you've had, the same 56 primary structures, and some of those were fourplexes and stuff, so many more residentials, 91 other buildings. But there's 125 cars, 15 boats and trailers, 26 tractors and forklifts, man lifts, 47 other trailers, 15 RVs. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff in there, and there's a lot of loss.
Man, yeah, it's a and those numbers may grow as we learn more. David Jensen, Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue Chief, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
8:52 in the morning. We'll wrap it up for you after this.
Oaks Amusement Park, Oregon's historic amusement park, is celebrating 120 years of safe, wholesome family fun. This landmark season, visit the Oaks for thrill rides, mini golf, carnival games, and roller skating. And experience a classic piece of Oregon history that has been delighting and exciting families since 1905. Plan your visit, view deals and discounts, and learn more about Oaks Park history today at oakspark.com.
Bring family and friends
with a fun ever end.
Oaks Amusement Park. Get a great deal on making the most of every property with Kubota commercial landscape equipment. From mowers to track loaders to utility vehicles, it's a lineup built to uphold your reputation. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 0.99% APR for up to 48 months. Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Sea Shepherds, 440 Riverside Drive, Hood River, your Kubota dealer.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best local attraction and best outdoor event in the gorge. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at cedarcreekalpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Rowena Fire Recovery, Multi-Agency Resource Center, Columbia Gorge Food Bank, County Clerk, County Assessor, Veteran Services, American Red Cross, Youth Think, Oregon Health Authority, Adventist Health, and many more will be available Wednesday, June 18th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the Veteran Services Office, 401 East 3rd Street, Suite 100. The MARC, a centralized location where various agencies and organizations have come together to provide disaster relief assistance and resources to individuals and families affected by disaster.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Want to mention a venue change for an event this weekend. Gorge Sinfonietta, Vacation Time, Postcards from a Musical Journey. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening is now going to be at the Dallas Civic Auditorium. It was scheduled to be at the Whitings Middle School Performing Arts Center. I believe we just had David Jensen on with us talking about the fire and and sure, they're going to be moving the headquarters. It had been up at the Hood River County Fairgrounds / White East Middle School. And that's why that got moved. So, again, the Gorge Sinfonietta, Friday evening at 7, they're at the Dallas Civic Auditorium now. Information at gorgeorchestra.org. Herman the Sturgeon, birthday time, Bonneville Fish Hatchery, 10 to 2 Saturday. It's Sunday. I'm sorry, it's Sunday. I don't want to get his birthday wrong. 10 to 2 on Sunday, it says here, Bonneville Fish Hatchery. They're going to have a scavenger hunt, maker's market, a happy birthday sing-along, both at 11 and 1, and cupcakes at noon. That'll be at the Bonneville Fish Hatchery. Happy birthday to Herman. I saw a note here that I'm not quite sure if because it's not necessarily from a source I would usually use. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this. My alma mater, Washington State University, the athletic department, which is not always noted for getting things right. Apparently, they have made an announcement. They've made a decision, track and field program, which has been pretty good there. Basically for distance running. Well, apparently, they're going to now basically have a track team and no field. They announced their track and field program. They're going to cut all field events and limit spots for sprint and hurdle events and focus on distance and cross country. That's just odd to me. Of course, that's also athletic department level. It was a one-time a national level baseball program crashed to the ground. Not that I'm bitter about that. I'm done. I better stop. I'm Mark Bailey for Cameron Eisenberg producing. Talk to you again tomorrow.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
The North Central Public Health